team. Great core two, great song to lead into what we're talking about today, and so I appreciate that so much. Will? Yeah, we did. On Friday night, our kids and grandkids and a dog were over for supper and decorating the Christmas tree. So that's the fun part of it there. And the next slide shows the dog doing its part. Not really, it's just chewing on a toy. But it's a little earlier than we usually do it, setting up the tree. And it may even bother some of you to see a tree set up this early. But that's okay. It worked best around everyone's life schedules. And it's always a great family time together. Always is. One of the things we do is we set up the tree and we have Chinese food. I mean, Chinese food and setting up tree is, I mean, it just goes together, right? And we've always done that. And someone tried to change that this year. It was almost a rebellion. Teams began to form, much like church when things change. No, not really. But sides began to form, and team tradition won out in this case. But of course, at Christmas time, you know, and that's coming up, by the way, whether you like it or not, whether it stresses you out or not, Christmas is coming. And at Christmas time, we do think, one of the things we think about is we think about giving. And when it comes to those who are part of our family, those around us whom we love, we want to give them, I think it's right, we want to give them nice gifts. We want to give them something that's nice, that's meaningful. However, with life and circumstances, and sometimes it's our living spaces, and maybe it's our health, maybe it's our financial situations, we give what we can. And sometimes, as meager or as little as it seems to us, as little or small as it seems to us, it's all that we can do. And for those who receive what we give in love, it's awesome. It's great. Well, today in our second last story, we're going to do one more next Sunday. In our second last story of Jesus that we're considering on Sundays together this fall, yes, it is still fall technically. The stories that we're considering on Sundays together this fall, we're going to look today at someone who gave all that she could. She gave all that she could in love. And the implications were epic and are remembered to this day. And so I want you to take a look on the screen if you want, or you could follow along in your Bibles, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. Mark 14, 1 to 9, either in your Bibles or it'll be here on the screen from the New International Version. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or people might riot. So while he, that is Jesus, was in Bethany, reclining or relaxing at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. That's Jesus' head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand," interesting, "to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." How many times have you heard Jesus say that? Not too many. So this must be important. So let's take a look today. Again, God just opened our ears and hearts. So who was this lady that she should be remembered for all time? And why was what she did so special? Well, we know from this story in here, We know from this story being told in other gospel accounts, and so this same story is told in Matthew, it's told in Mark, and it's told in John. There's another similar story in the book of Luke, but as people have studied this, they say this is the same story told in Matthew, Mark, and John. And today we're looking at it from Mark's perspective. Now, from those other accounts, though, we find out that this woman's name was Mary. And because of what she did, God gave her special recognition for all time. She gave to Jesus a true sacrifice. We just sang about that in that last song. She gave to Jesus a true sacrifice, and she gave it out of love and gratitude. And you see, just as Mary gave to Jesus, it's the same principle. It's a timeless principle we also can give to him. We can give him our best. We can give him all that we can. But to give him all that we can, as Mary did, we need some things. And the first thing I'd suggest to you this morning is that we need to cultivate a heart that's sensitive. I don't mean crying every time somebody calls you a name or doesn't agree with you. That's a big deal these days. People get really offended if you don't agree with them in different things. But I don't mean that hypersensitive heart that gets offended. I mean, we need to cultivate a heart that's sensitive. And the first thing that really we notice in this account is Mary's heart. She had the kind of heart attitude that wanted to know, to experience more of Jesus' love. Now the Mary that I'm talking about, that we're looking at today, is the same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus. I don't know if you remember this story. Jesus was at their house, and she sat at the feet of Jesus when her sister Martha got upset that she wasn't in the kitchen helping her. There's a story in the Bible about that, and Jesus says, "Hey, just relax. It's okay, Martha. You're doing what you need to do, and Mary's doing what she needs to do, and that's good." And so this is the same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus when her sister was cooking away in the kitchen. She's the same Mary whose brother Lazarus died. And when she went out to meet Jesus when he was coming to their place after Lazarus died, we read that she ran out and fell at his feet. We actually talked about that a couple weeks ago. She ran and she fell at Jesus' feet. And she's the Mary mentioned in today's account, today's story, the one who poured expensive perfume on Jesus. And she did this because she believed, worshiped, and loved Jesus as we ought to do because of who he is and what he has done for us. And there's value in the truth that we need to spend time with him as well so that we can know his will for our lives. We can do that by reading his word in part, reading his word, the Bible, and talking with him in prayer, that we would develop hearts that are sensitive to his worth and his desire for us, to cultivate a heart that is sensitive as Mary did. Mary also responded, though. She just didn't cultivate a heart that was sensitive and, "Oh, I love Jesus and I worship him." And she responded. She did something. And Jesus said she did what she could. That's what Jesus said. He said she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. It wasn't long after this account where Mary poured that Jesus would be crucified on a cross and buried in a tomb. And then, of course, the good part, rise again. But Mary responded. She did what she could while she still could. She didn't wait till next time. She didn't go, I've got this and I feel like I should do it. And maybe I'll wait till next time he comes for supper. She didn't hum and haw, we call it. She did what she could while she could. She wanted to show her love, her appreciation, and gratitude to Jesus. She wanted to express her worship of Jesus while he could still, if you will, smell it and appreciate it. Later on in the Bible, after Jesus dies, in that in between his death and his resurrection, the whole part about him being in a tomb, it's interesting. After Jesus died, we read that the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus because that's what they did. They anointed the body, and they hadn't had time to do that the day that he had died. And so the next morning, the women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. But when they get there, what did they find? Nothing. He was gone. He wasn't there. Mary was the only one who, unknowingly at the time, got to anoint Jesus in preparation for his burial. It was like a foreshadowing of things to come. And Jesus acknowledges that right in the verse that's on the screen. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. The thing Mary did was great, because not only did she do what she could, she did it while she was still able. Isn't that some of the great advice that we get in life? Isn't that what we hear oftentimes for life? Do things while you're able. Spend time while you're able. Travel while you're able. Make life count for God while you're able. No one regrets those things at the end of their life. Rather, the words are more often heard, "I wish I had done this," or "I wish I had gone there," or "spent more time with," you fill in the blank, or "made my life count," or "made faith in God a priority." And yes, sometimes these things require some sort of sacrifice on our part. Take a look. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. If someone asked you, you don't have to answer this out loud this morning. Sometimes I invite you to do that, but not this morning. If someone asked you, what would your definition of a sacrifice be? How would you answer that? If someone asked you, what would your definition of a sacrifice be? I'm not talking about the animals in the Old Testament, just right now. What would your definition of a sacrifice be? How would you answer that? I mean, clearly it's probably different for different people. Consider this possibility, okay, just as a little illustration or example. You've got two coats, and you give one of them up for someone who doesn't have a coat. That's not really a sacrifice, is it? Or maybe not much of one. You're not doing without something you needed or wanted. Now, if you only had one coat and you gave that up for someone who didn't have one, that would seem like a sacrifice, wouldn't it? I know you could probably have all kinds of caveats and things around this, but if I save $10 a week for 10 years, okay, mathematicians, I would have $5,200. Now, if I gave $100 to somebody, you wouldn't really call that a sacrifice, would you? It's not a sacrifice. I still have $5,100. Now, if I felt that I should give all of it to someone, I would say that would be a sacrifice. That would be a sacrifice. Mary had a very expensive perfume that she may have saved for a long time to actually get. And she broke the container, we read, and gave it all to Jesus as an expression of her gratitude, of her love, and her worship. What can I do? What can I do? And this was all that she could do. And we know from the criticism that follows that this perfume was worth a year's wages. That's what it says. The perfume was worth a year's wages. And Mary didn't just pour out a few drops. She broke the jar. She gave it all. Some scholars who study this even suggest it could have been Mary's dowry that she was keeping for marriage. But whatever the case, she sacrificed it. She gave it all for the love and worship of Jesus. And somewhere, somehow, Mary knew that God deserved her very best. And that's what she gave. And I think that's what God wants from each one of us. He just wants our very best. Unless he's calling you to do this and you absolutely know this, I don't think he's calling you to empty out your bank account and bring it here or give it to somebody else or that. If he does, that's certainly between you and God. But I'm not saying that he wants you to do that this morning. I'm not saying that you have to give away your only car so that you don't have any means of transportation. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that within the context of our relationship with God, there's some things that he desires of us. And he desires our best, our best efforts. He's worth it. Mary broke the jar and she gave it all. She somehow knew that God deserved her very best, and that's what she could do, and that's what she gave. And that's what God wants from each of us. While we can, our best. Our all, really, if you read the Bible. And you know, when it's all said and done, the Bible tells us there will be a day where there's a judgment time, and God will only judge you by you. What I mean is by what he gave you and blessed you with and what you did with it, especially what you did with his son Jesus. That is the standard by which God will judge us. What we did with his son Jesus, what we did with his love, what we did with the offer of salvation, what we did with the offer of eternal life. He's not going to compare you to someone and say, why couldn't you have been like this person or that person? He certainly doesn't expect one person to give in the same way or same amounts that another might give. He sees you individually and he asks you to just give him your best. Whatever that might be, whatever that might look like. And just because somebody is richer than you doesn't mean they can give more than you can give. Just because somebody might be more educated than you are doesn't mean they're smarter or more capable than you are. You see, God wants the same thing from each of us. He just wants our best to do what we can do for him. Well, Mary had a sensitive heart. She had a responsive heart, and she also had a servant's heart. Mary's act that day was the act of someone with a servant's heart. Mary was thinking only of Jesus when she broke that vase and poured that perfume all over him. Yet before the last drop hit the floor, she was being harshly criticized by those around her. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor, and they rebuked her harshly. So you know, we get together and somebody does something like that. Like, you're in this setting or a setting, I don't know what the modern day is, but somebody takes a year's worth of their wages and, I don't know, dumps it on somebody. I don't know what the context is. Maybe it's a Gucci perfume or I don't know. And they spend a whole year's wages just on that one person in that moment, and it's gone. You would have a bird. You would be thinking, what a waste. Now, I don't know, maybe if it was Jesus, it would be different, but clearly it wasn't in this case either. But I mean, are you kidding me? Do you know the good that money could have gone to? How many people a year's wages could have fed? How much food we could have bought for the food bank? What a stinking waste. And they rebuked her. They didn't just rebuke her. There was a need here to say harshly, are you an idiot? Are you such a waster? How could you do that? They could only see the cost. But I would suggest to you that Jesus saw the value. It's so hard not to be influenced by the standards of today's society, isn't it? I mean, even the disciples had that problem. And in these two verses, we see how they started complaining and finding fault. And fair warning this morning, you will rarely do something valuable for Jesus without being criticized by someone. You will rarely do something valuable for Jesus, for God, for the kingdom of God, without being criticized by someone. Yet Mary doesn't lash out. She doesn't send an angry tweet. She doesn't hashtag stupid disciples. She just keeps going, and she lets Jesus defend her. In verse 6, we read, "Leave her alone." Well, I wonder how he said it. Leave her alone. No, I'll bet you he was a little more firm. Leave her alone. Enough. There's no need for that. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Do you remember where Jesus is in this story? Do you remember? He's at the house of Simon the leper. Lepers don't host dinners. So obviously, this is Simon the leper, perhaps whom Jesus had healed of leprosy. Do you know who else is there? This account in the other books of the Bible that I mentioned earlier tells us that Lazarus is there, and Martha, and of course Mary, to mention a few. And so we've got a healed leper, we got a raised from the dead guy, we've got grateful sisters of the raised dead guy, and many other people who had seen and benefited from Jesus' blessings. And the disciples, Jesus' closest friends, are complaining about spending too much on Jesus. The disciples criticized her harshly for what they saw as a waste, and Jesus criticized them just as harshly because he saw that what she had done was out of love and worship and service to him, and he saw the value in it to the point he said, "I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now, I want to tell you, it's not those kind of works. It's not those kind of things, not these kind of things that, I guess I would use the words, that get us to heaven. Those aren't the kinds of things that get us to heaven. The Bible is clear about that. In Ephesians 2:8, it tells us, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." And so it's through faith that we're saved. That means it's not by our own works that we get to heaven, or that we've done really good, or we've served in Sunday school or served in church all our lives. It's not because of that. You see, those works, those things happen because of faith. It's the faith that we have in God that changes our heart, and so we do good things. Because we have the love for others in our hearts that God does. And you know, throughout the Bible, it's consistently the small or seemingly simple things that have made the biggest impact. Sure, Mary's perfume was expensive, but it was a simple act. At supper of pouring over. Throughout the Bible, we see that Moses' staff, just a staff, it became a symbol of defeat over the armies of Egypt when we read about Moses and the exit from Egypt. There was a guy named David. He had a little slingshot. You know, I think it probably fit in your hand. A little slingshot over Goliath and the army. There's another account of a few loaves of bread, like a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. Fed over 5,000 people. The key to doing anything for God isn't necessarily in the big or famous things, but in the small and sometimes unnoticed acts of love. And sometimes people will have another opinion. They may criticize. But you see, it's not a matter of us coming to give something of our own so that God will be impressed with us. It's a matter of us being so impressed with God that we bring everything we have to him as an expression of his worth. Maybe that's a question for us this week. Maybe that's the question for us this week. Am I giving to him what I can while I can? I'm not talking about money or giving stuff. Am I giving of myself? Am I giving to others of my time, of my talent, my abilities, my finance? Am I giving in honor of God to him what I can while I can? Am I giving him my best, or you just get whatever's left over? Man, I'm busy. Like, I'll give you a little bit, but that's all I got. Am I giving God my best? Let me encourage you to find a way to do that. Let me encourage you, I don't even know what that looks like exactly for you this week, but let me encourage you to find a way this week to give God your best. Again, it doesn't mean that, you know, out of all the hours that you only have a couple for yourself. It doesn't mean thinking of him every minute of the day because there are other things that we need to think about. It doesn't mean giving everything you own away. Find out for you what it means to give God your best this week. Maybe it's of your time. Maybe it's of your talent. Maybe it's in your finances. Ask him to show you what it is, and I believe that he will be faithful to show you what that means in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story about Mary, who she just did what she could. She did what she could. Father, I pray that you would help us to do all that we can. She has done all that she could. Father, that we would do all that we can, and that we would not ever judge other people in the way that they do the best they can for you or give all they can for you because we think they should do it a different way. But Father, I pray that we would focus on our own relationship with you, that we would give you our best because you gave us your best and you gave all for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promise that we don't have to do this on our own, that we can say, God, I have no idea what the answer to the question is we talked about on Sunday, how it is you want me to give you my best. But I pray, God, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts to grow to understand what that means in our lives and in our circumstances. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.